14th chapter, 15 through 27, which is the biggest portion of this chapter. But in verse 14, or verse 15, and saying, "Sirs, why do these things? We also are men of like passion with you, and preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein, who in time past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he left not himself without a witness, in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness." And with these sayings, scarce restrained they the people, that they had not done sacrifice unto them. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up, came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas and Deborah. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and taught many people, they turned again to Lystra and Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, that we must, through much tribulation, enter the kingdom of God. Verse 22 is very important. The Christian life is not easy, and the worst is yet to come here on earth. When they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed and fasting is very important in the Christian life, and I don't know how many people do, but very few people have ever shared with me that they fast. And after they had passed throughout Bethsaida, they came to Pamphylia, and I'm sure I'm butchering those names. We see in this portion of Scripture the terms missionary or mission work. This will surprise some. Are not really scriptural terms, but terms that grew out of religious organizations. How different the work of the gospel or the ministry is. See, in Acts 13:2, go back to the 13th chapter, and the second verse. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work wherein I have called them." And notice who calls missionaries. One person down in Georgia when I was there and preaching at the conference, I said, you know, we give the church sometimes, you know, we look at it, and I've said, Bryan Station is a missionary church. And they are. In the fact that they support many missions. And they send out missionaries. But when we look at the Word of God, as they minister to the Lord, and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Just here lately, there's been a couple of three guys that I'll not name them to, for someone who knows them may take it wrong, but they decided they wanted to go to the mountains, and they wanted to go here, and you go into a place like Salt Lake. Brother Fennison started that work, and they've had a number of pastors. Not enough people to even pay the gas for the pastor. And, you know, it's never been organized. We don't have to take that. Let's look at our church mission at Berea. Y'all probably forgot about that work. Remember Brother Jim Murner? When I was called to be your pastor, I didn't even know we had a mission in Berea. Nobody ever said anything about it. Another preacher just outside of Richmond, he told me, he said, we'd like to take over that authority. I said, there's nothing there, but if you want the authority, you know, take it. And he said, you'll see how mission work is done. 10 years later, there's still nothing. Unless the Spirit of God separates a sinner, he'll not be saved. Unless the Spirit of God separates the man of God, he'll not be successful. But we see here, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul. He said, the Holy Spirit has never spoke to me. Then you're not saved. You didn't hear an audible voice. You didn't hear somebody speaking like, but you heard that voice. And if you didn't, you need to be saved. What I'm simply saying, the work of the gospel is to do what God has called us to do. And if God has called us to do it, He will supply. The work is the Lord's to do. I've never saved anybody. Only God saves. Now we'll get into our part. Any that He sets apart for the work is by His choosing, sending, and sustaining, and we are but to pray the Lord of the harvest that He sent forth laborers unto the harvest. Isn't that what He says in Matthew chapter 9, verse 38? When we look at Matthew, the 9th chapter, and the 38th verse, what does God say? Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. Now, the Lord in this state, He is the one in control. As the man is to be the Lord of the house. Doesn't mean that he doesn't respect and honor his wife and she's his helpmate and she can make decisions, you know. But he is the Lord. In other words, he is the master of the house. So when God says here, in Matthew 9:38, pray ye for the Lord of the harvest. It's His harvest. And what do you see in the $1 churches with preachers that are driving $75,000 and $80,000 vehicles? The building is full, but no gospel being preached. Because God isn't in that. God is not in that. We are in the ministry to find those that God has elected before the foundation of the world. And if we keep preaching, keep visiting, keep carrying out the gospel, some of them will rise up. But it's His field. So we need to pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. Who's the harvest? Who is the Lord of the harvest? Is it the Southern Baptist Convention? Is it the convention of the Christian Church or the Methodist Church or the Catholic Church? I tell you, if God is not the master of this church, we're playing games. So briefly, I want to look at 10 qualities of a true gospel work. We don't get this Wednesday, we'll finish up next Wednesday. The work of the gospel is to exalt Christ. 14 chapter. What do we see in the 15th verse? It's saying, sirs, why do ye these things? We also are men of like passion with you and preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and sea and all things that are therein. The work of the gospel is to exalt Christ, not ourselves. Why do ye these things? Why do you do these things? When the hearers would exalt Paul and Barnabas, they deflected the glory of God. Now, it doesn't mean that we don't let people know that we love them and appreciate them. And humanly speaking, we couldn't do what we're doing. I mean, you know, our singing, ones that sing, y'all sound pretty good. But how would it sound if everybody sung? You know, we're singing for the glory of God. She's playing the piano for the glory of God. You're leading, singing for the glory of God. It's not about people, it's about God. So we need to understand that. We need to realize that. Number two, the work of the gospel is to call sinners to the sovereign Christ and Lord. When we look at verse 15 or verse 16, who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Who did that? Who in time past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways? Nations are the Lord's to do with what He will. Now, this is my personal opinion. I have no respect for our president at all. But I believe that the president, this one in particular, God's going to use him to bring this nation down because this nation has forgot God. And if it wasn't from him, there would be another one there. This was founded as a Christian nation. Christians don't take prayer out of church. Don't take prayer out of this. You say, wait a minute, did you say church? Yes, there's a church building in California that is being sued because they're having prayer services. You'll come here unless we repent. Now see, not everybody agrees with me and I don't get excited. God uses people, places, and things to carry out His judgment. We have got Saul. We've got Saul on the what God thinks about homosexuality. It would be good for everybody to do a word study on the word abomination. It'll change your life if you believe it. If you believe what the word abomination means. But God said in the verse 17, nevertheless, He left not Himself without witness, in that He did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful season, filling our hearts with food and gladness. He's got a witness. God's got a witness. I pray to God that Ammon Road Baptist Church will rise up and be that witness. That if nobody else in Harrison County will preach the gospel and preach sin is wrong and preach against sin and lift up the goodness of God. He left Himself a witness. Whether God ever reveals Christ in any sinners at all, His grace, He still is merciful God in withholding judgment, even for a time. Just for a time. My neighbor has a tree. It's a way up there. An electric man came around and he said, you know, that tree got to be cut down. Because if you don't cut it down, it's going to fall on the electric line, and it's going to fall on Mr. Vance's house, and I don't think he's going to be happy about that. Now, it blew a tree down beside it. It blew one in the back. Why didn't it blow that tree down? You think God doesn't know my wife can't sleep without oxygen? The work of the gospel is to point sinners to the one, thank you, the one uniquely sacrifice of God. Verse 18, and with these sayings, scarce restrained they the people that they had not done sacrifice unto them. Notice this reading here in verse 18. And with these sayings, scarce restrained they the people that they had not done sacrifice unto them. God has the power to come into a city with a tornado and tear down one house, leave all the rest of them standing. You believe that? You better. I hadn't been preaching long, living over Georgetown. Had the first tornado that ever hit our area that I could remember. And everybody was amazed when we found this oak tree with scrawl, one little right in that tree. So like you drill a hole and stuck it in. I mean, that's my God. Amen. And He knew which little piece of straw and what tree that was going to happen before it ever happened, before the tree was ever there. And people say, that's ridiculous. Then you don't know my God. I kept him busy. He knows every hair that fell out of my head. He's God.
Amen.
While these would have offered sacrifice to Paul and Barnabas, knowing that only one sacrifice is acceptable to God, and that of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't buy the Lord. You can't convince the Lord. I don't care who is preacher. I don't care what message he's preaching. I don't care how good the singing is. I don't care what kind of building you got. If God doesn't save, there'll be no salvation. Number five, the work of the gospel will bring opposition from natural-minded religiousness. You know, there's a lot of people, good people, that is ate up with religion. But let me tell you tonight, religion and Christianity are not even first cousins. They have nothing in common. Religion is man-made. Christianity is God-made. And you can't experience Christianity until you first experience God.
Amen.
Notice verse 19. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Notice, there came certain Jews, God's people, from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people to stone Paul. He's dead. Now, they to blow his body up if possible, and God to bring it all back together as soon as they did it. You know, I want you to listen to this. It was right for my sister to go to the doctor and go to the hospital, and she got a big place about that long in her back, and, you know, it was right for me to go have my heart. It was right for this and right for that. It's right for you to go to the doctor. But if there's any healing, God does it.
Amen.
I don't care how good a specialist he is. But me being human, the first heart surgery I had, I checked out my particular surgery. You know how I chose my surgeon? There's only two that did the surgery. One in Houston, Texas. One in Nashville, Tennessee. The one in Nashville, Tennessee, to my little pea brain, had more live. I was saved then, too. Why don't you believe that now? You grow in grace and knowledge. None of them was saved by that hand of that physician unless God was guiding that physician's hand. Amen?
Amen?
That's why you can't even walk without Him holding your hand. He doesn't need you. He doesn't need me. We need Him.
Amen.
And we cannot bargain with Him. We cannot make a deal with Him. Because we see it right here. Who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. That man's dead. I don't know how many it was, but they all evidently threw stones at him. But he didn't die. Why didn't he die? Hebrews 9:27. Now, he was in a lot of pain, no doubt. And you and I may go through a lot of pain. I've heard it for now a year and 4 months. almost. Why are you scared of that virus? You afraid to die? No, I ain't afraid to die. Why ain't you afraid to die? When at a point in time for me to go, virus or no virus, I'm out of here. Night be a good night. I don't want to die because I've got a wife that I love that I want to live long enough to see her well. Afraid to die? I took care of that 50-some years ago. When they had ordained, see, works religionists will always oppose the message of grace in Christ Jesus. What do I mean by this statement? People that believe in work for salvation will tell you, some sweet little old people. I remember this little lady the first time she told me that. She had to be in her 80s, and she had this pen that she was proud of. She had went over a period of 50 years and never missed a Sunday school class. So I went ahead and asked, I said, "Are you saved?" Yes, what her answer was. "Son, I just told you this pen represents 50 years without missing Sunday school." What was she telling me? "I'm going to heaven because I went 50 years without missing a Sunday school." I could just fell down and cried. Because if she really believes that, she's in hell right now. If she believes that going to Sunday school for 50 years without missing a Sunday is salvation, she's lost. And should she have went 50 years if she was able? Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. The work of the gospel will advance as God's purpose in spite of man's opposition. And then what verse 20 says? "Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed to two more cities." He'd been stoned. "You're supposed to be dead, Paul. What are you doing? You have a twin?" That's exactly what people say when somebody is diagnosed with something that should take them out of here. "I thought you'd been dead by now." These two names I mentioned Sunday, newborn and 3 years old. They're not old enough to die, are they? I got a brother in heaven, died at 3 days. I got another brother in heaven that died at 6 weeks. So I love this song, "Heaven's Gonna Be Your Homecoming." See, I hope all the rest of them are saved, but I know those two are in heaven. Read Psalms 51. And old David said, "You can't come back to me, but I'm sure prepared to go where you are." Amen. That should be our goal. You that miss your mama, your dad, that's a good friend. See, I mean, you can get emotional. My brother-in-law bought me my first car, old 49 Ford, flathead. filled it up with oil and checked the gas. But it was mine. He gave it to me. So I told him, I said, when I get a good job, I'm going to pay you back. He just smiled. When I got a good job at IBM, I took that money that he's paid, and I said, here's for that Ford. He said, you know nothing about grace, do you? See, that's the problem of us Baptists. We preach it, but we don't know nothing about grace. The work of the gospel will advance as God has purpose in spite of men's opposition. You know, in Daniel 4:35, you know, it talks about the natural men may attempt to stop the message of Christ, but none can stay his hand or say unto him, what does it thou? Daniel 4, verse 35. Why do you do that, Lord? Didn't you imagine this gentleman that's Grandpa West? Why, Lord? Why would you take my child? Why do you take my three-year-old child? Why do you take my three-year-old grandchild? This is hard, and I don't mean it to be, but neither one of those children belonged to them. How do you prepare for the loss of a husband or loss of a wife? You thank God for the good years you had. What you do. The work of the gospel is not only the converting of sinners, but in conforming them in the grace of God. See, just being saved, just professing to be saved is such the beginning. But if you profess to be saved and then you live like the devil for the rest of your life, that's a black mark against God. I'm telling you, the God that I serve, if He saved me, He can keep me saved and He can bring me back when I'm out in the world and He can keep me there. If it's not, then He has the power to save you but don't have the power to keep you. Then you have some preacher that's been preaching half his life says, well, God saves and then it's our responsibility. I don't care how hard I cry, I find myself thinking something. Even though I may not do it, I'm thinking about it. Do you realize that sin in God's eyes? Tell me you've been saved even 6 months and you've never had a bad thought? Come on now. You can't save yourself and you can't keep yourself. Who are you serving? God. Amen. We see somebody mess up and we act like, I'm Mr. Clean. See, it's written on my back. No, we're not. We're just sinners saved by God's grace. And every time we mess up, it bothers us more. It bothers us more. That's how you know you're saved. Yes. In verse 21-22, and went. They had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, and they returned again. But they went through much tribulation. 21, verse 21 in our text said, and when they had preached the gospel in that city and had taught many, they returned again. You know why? You got to keep preaching it. You got to keep preaching it. One of y'all, and you know who you were, about a couple weeks ago, you was leaving and you whispered to me, "You preached chapter 4, didn't you, Pastor?" Made my heart. Most people don't even remember what I preached last week, and I preached that sermon about a year ago, and they remember it. Praise God! You should never be ashamed if you're going to. How are you going to tell somebody how to be saved if you don't use the same message over and over? You may change the words around, but the same message. He's everything, you're nothing. He chose you, you didn't choose him. You held out because he's keeping you. It's all of him. To God be the glory. The work of the gospel is in the raising up of the congregations under the leadership of the men appointed for the well-being of those in congregation. That's what he says in 23. "And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed." One of the things that we do is wrong, and I'd like to change it. We make decisions without fasting. And I'm not talking about people who's got to eat because of the medicine they take. They got to eat because of this or that. But we all could fast, you know. I let my telephone, you know. Some of you say, "I don't know why I call you. You never answer." Well, I'm probably fasting. When I'm fasting, I don't care who's on the other end. I'm not picking up that phone. My fasting is more important than you telling me, "Do you want to know what I seen last night? Do you want to know what I seen on Facebook?" Oh, Lord, I hope it's good. The most of it's not. We need to fast. Pray and fast. And fasting is more than just not eating. I only spent about 25 minutes eating today. Spent a lot more doing other things. Couldn't tell you what they were. Didn't make me better. Didn't make anybody else better. So I could have let it undone. And nobody would have been hurt. You know what I'm saying? Sure you do. The work of the gospel is in following the Lord's direction as to where, when, and how he purposes. That's 24 through 26. See, it's one thing to know what God wants you to do. It's quite another to do it. You know what I'm saying? I don't know about you, but my wife and I, if we got a real early appointment, we try to get to bed a little earlier. And every time it does, the devil will keep us up for something, you know. We ought to have a time. We ought to have a time every day that's just me and the Lord's time. It'll be hard the first time. But you do it long enough and God will give you peace with it. Tom called me today. Sutherland. He said, "You realize I called you 5 times and you didn't answer the phone?" I said, "I was talking." He said, "But the phone was ringing. How was you talking?" I was talking to somebody a lot more important than you talk. I just got off the phone with the cancer doctor. What he was conveying to me is a lot more than what you're going to say, and I don't even know what you're going to say. All I'm trying to do is show you emphasis There's got to be some set-aside times. It's just you and God, me and God, us and God. Don't just talk to Him when you need something. Talk to Him when everything is great. You just say, thank you, God, for this day. It'll change you. And lastly, the work of the gospel always accomplishes what God's purpose. The work of the gospel always accomplishes what God's purpose is. What did He say in verse 27? And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how He had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. Now, the word rehearse. You know what most people do when they get together? They talk about what they done. It was a terrible day. Lord, I tell you, I didn't even think I was going to be able to come today. But they rehearsed. Because when they came to church, it wasn't about what I did or you did. It was about what God did. See, when I read prayer requests like this, and I read the prayer request with Wilbur Fowler, one just a newborn, one is 3 years old, one is a little older. But God knew all about it. And what do we need to do? We need to rehearse what we're going to say. God, be with that family. Give that family understanding that none of us can give Him. Try, only you can convince that father or that grandfather, that mother or that grandmother that that baby belonged to Him. He giveth. He taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Father, we thank You for this day.